Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, I really hope one of these liberal reporters in Helena tries to pick a fight with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in Montana today. I've reached out to his team, of course, reached out to our governor's team as well. Yeah, I first shared the news Friday on X, x.com/Aaron Flint, that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis would be in Montana today. He's got a press conference with the governor at the Capitol later this afternoon. Fox News Radio has a report here giving us a sense of a little bit about what Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will talk about in Montana today. Here's a readout of this report. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is heading west today as he teams up with the governors of Idaho and Montana in advocating for state action needed to pass a balanced budget amendment to the United States Constitution. This is from Brian Griffin, the Florida governor's communications director, and what he told Fox News. DeSantis making stops today in Boise, Idaho, and, of course, Helena, Montana, as part of the balanced budget campaign. Here's what else I expect them to talk about. Governor Greg Gianforte here in Montana, he started his first term in office with his red tape relief initiative to do away with a lot of the bureaucratic red tape. I expect the governor of Montana to champion those efforts, especially in light of the great efforts by Elon Musk and President Trump and the Department of Government Efficiency to trim away the bureaucratic red tape at the federal level as well. And then, of course, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has been doing DOGE-style efforts since day one when he's been in office as governor of Florida as well. In fact, I just saw a story today. Yeah, here it is. This is from thedailycaller.com. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis announced on Friday that Florida, you got to say Florida. You don't just say Florida. You got to say Florida. That's right, Jerry. Florida has returned nearly $1 billion in federal funds after meeting with Elon Musk. $1 billion. Florida is giving $1 billion back to we the people, we the taxpayers of the United States of America. Here's what the governor said in a post on X. He says, for years, Florida has been trying to return federal funds to the federal government due to the ideological strings attached by the Biden administration, but they couldn't even figure out how to accept it. He said, today I met with Elon Musk and the Doge team, and we got it done. In the same day, DeSantis says other states should follow Florida in supporting Doge's efforts. That's at thedailycaller.com. I remember one of the last times that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was in Montana. His buddy Gavin Newsom was here, too. Oh, Gavin Newsom. My goodness. Did you guys... It's getting so bad for Gavin Newsom, even CNN is calling him out for being a hypocrite. We'll talk about that and how much you're paying for illegal aliens health care in California right after this.
It's March 24th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Cheesesteak Day. If you're from the city of brotherly love, there remains one question that has divided the town for decades. Who makes the best cheesesteak sandwich? Is it Pat's King of Steaks or Gino Steaks? As for who invented the city's iconic sandwich, the credit goes to Pat Olivieri, who apparently created the sandwich in the 1930s as a change of pace from his hot dog stand. Today, a traditional Philly cheesesteak is still made from these basic ingredients: chopped steak, onion, and cheese whiz or provolone served on a hoagie roll. So the next time you're in Philly, make sure to get yourself this delicious piece of culinary history. Also on this date, in 1947, the Congress proposes that the president serve for a maximum of 2 terms in office. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the great escape artist and magician Harry Houdini, born in 1874, and actor Steve McQueen, born in 1930. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox News Snapshot.
It's tax day. You can get a break from filing, but you do have to pay. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author. Join me every Monday on my podcast as I speak with silent but noteworthy heroes. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts, and leave a rating and a review.
Not ready to file your taxes? Carl Breedlove, lead tax research analyst with the Tax Institute at H&R Block, says you can file with the IRS for an extension.
Simply filing the paperwork and sending it in, you'll get that automatic six-month extension, and that'll give you until October 15th to file that return.
However, you still need to pay the IRS.
Estimate the amount of money that you'll owe and pay at least 90% of that.
There is both a failure to file penalty and a failure to pay penalty. Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
Lose your wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
How much are we still paying so that California can give free health care to illegal aliens? I'll give you that answer in just a second. But yeah, California Governor Gavin Newsom, I loved it the last time that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis was in Montana. It was when he was right in the middle of this back and forth with Newsom. Newsom was trying to put out this phony argument that somehow California was a more free state than Florida. And so, of course, DeSantis just annihilated Newsom in that argument. But even CNN, it's getting so bad for Gavin Newsom that even CNN is calling him out. The guy is like Harvey Two-Face here. He even kind of looks like the guy, doesn't he? Anyway, here we go. This was Gavin Newsom. CNN featured this clip, I think, where Gavin Newsom, I think it was on his podcast here. And you guys remember this woke terminology? You know, instead of Latino or Latina, the Democrats want to use Latinx. Because, you know, Latino is the male version, Latina is the female version, and they don't think there's a difference between men and women with their insane radical agenda. So here you go. Here's Gavin Newsom trying to rewrite history, claiming that he never used the term Latinx.
Not one person ever in my office has ever used the word Latinx.
So can we finally put that to bed?
Yeah, where did that even...
No more Latinx,
like,
everybody.
Well, I just didn't even know where it came from. I'm like, what are people talking about?
But there was a person who used Latinx. It was actually a really important person. It was him.
Yeah, here we go. That was CNN. I think that was Dana Bash saying, yeah, there actually was a person in his office who used Latinx. A really important person. Him. And then they ran the tape. Here you go. Here you go. This is the audio. Gavin Newsom, in his own words.
I hope we can really paint a picture in terms of our consciousness of how impactful this has been on the Latinx community. Latinx community, the Latinx and black communities. You've got politicians that are banning not assault rifles, but the word Latinx. They're not even serious.
Yeah, there you go. So there's Gavin Newsom pretending to be all moderate now as he's saying, oh yeah, it's crazy. We should be banning guns. Instead, they're banning terms like Latinx. it's just hilarious. Let's go to Tim in Billings. Tim, what's going on this morning?
Good morning, Aaron. So I've noticed on the social media pages how a lot of the left, they just can't seem to distinguish between a person and one particular viewpoint they have. You know, they're saying, I can't wait till MAGA mandates all these conservatives to... buy EVs after they were so anti-EV, and it's like, you realize I can not support electric vehicles, think that they're terrible, that's my personal opinion, and support the other things that I think Elon Musk and the Trump administration are doing, and not have to have this definitive hard line of one thing that they do I don't like, so I'm just going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And it's just really funny because there's no distinction there. There's no distinction between I can disagree with you on one point, but overall support you. With the left, it's you are with us 100% or you are out.
That's right. Well, look at what happened to, who is the author? Was it J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter books?
Rowling.
I mean, she's left. Yeah. I think she's even part of the LGB whatever persuasion, but she didn't support the radical transgender agenda and supports protecting women's safe spaces and women's sports. And nope, you're out of here. Yeah, they went after her. What did you think about Gavin Newsom? Oh, I never said that term, Latinx. And then even CNN rolls the tape.
The internet never lies. The internet is undefeated. The internet will have a history of everything you have ever put out on social media forever, and people will remember and be able to bring it up within seconds when you try to dispute it. And that is the best thing about the democratization of information over the internet, and that is also why the left tries to censor it, because they can't stand their own history.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, he didn't even try the Biden White House approach, which is just lie, just call it a cheap fake video. Just pretend that it wasn't real. That's all you got to tell CNN. All right, Tim, great to hear from you. Thanks for the phone call. Speaking of California and Governor Gavin Newsom, thefederalist.com has a must-read piece out today. In 2024, California Governor Gavin Newsom proudly made California the first state to offer medical care for people who entered the country illegally and reside in the Golden State. The cost was estimated at almost $8 billion, but it's being paid by all taxpayers, not just Californians. Deanne Waldman then asked this question. Do people in Texas, North Carolina, and hyper-taxed Illinois want to fund California's 700,000 illegal immigrants? Well, you don't have a choice. Newsom is using Medi-Cal, California's Medicaid safety net program, and the federal government matches the state's funding using American taxpayers' money, even though there's federal laws against allowing illegal aliens to take part in programs like Medicaid. Okay, here's the deal. In Newsom's budget estimate last year, the cost of insuring illegal aliens was estimated at $6.5 billion, but as the Federalist reports, it's now been revised to $9.5 billion and is expected to grow even higher, according to the LA Times. So bad that Newsom is now seeking a loan of an additional $3.4 billion to cover the increased costs. Let's hope the Trump team puts this to an immediate halt, especially since he appears to be in violation of federal law regarding Medicaid dollars.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story is told that legendary military leader George Marshall spent time during the 30s compiling a list, noting people with more talent than their rank and those who were just the opposite. He was then free when the war erupted to promote the best and fire the deadwood. That studied deliberation stands in contrast to the lightning-fast, indiscriminate layoffs and terminations taking place in the federal government today. One of the guiding principles in federal cost-cutting today is, quote, if you're not adding things back at least 10% of the time, you're clearly not cutting enough. So perhaps a chainsaw approach to federal government spending cuts will arrive at the same destination as George Marshall managed to get to all those years ago, only the road will be a lot bumpier. Certainly a different way of doing business for government, and it may prove to be a terrible fit. That's because government's job has been and always will be to provide the things that have value but that no one will pay for. Consistency, predictability. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
There has been a lot of debate over last week's flight which deported suspected Venezuelan gang members to El Salvador. The administration has been adamant that the flight was in the air before a federal judge ordered it turned around. Border czar Tom Homan said while appearing Sunday on ABC's This Week that all of the Venezuelans on the plane were determined to be members of the gang Tren de Aragua.
And TDA has been determined to be terrorist organizations. They're not classified as terrorists, so that plane removed 240 terrorists from the United States.
Homan says the administration's actions will continue and that illegal border crossings are now down 96%. But the issue is about more than just illegal immigration.
We're going to secure that border, make sure no public safety threats or national security threats cross that border and get away.
Holman says about 40,000 criminals have been deported since President Trump took office. Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to get to our legislative update here in just a second. But first, let's sneak in a quick phone call from Francis in Big Fork, listening to KJJR. Francis, what's going on? Great to hear from you.
Well, he's a nuisance, just another communist. You know, he wants to wreck the country, just like the guys like Bernie Sanders and that bunch. The big deal is they want us to become communists and slaves to their will. And you know what? We're going to keep fighting and tell them to go you know where and just do it. And we got to pray to God to save us from the devils. And that's who they are.
Isn't it interesting how, look, he's a radical leftist. He's a far leftist. He pushes this Latinx garbage. He shut down beaches, in the name of COVID-19. And he violated every one of his own mandates. But now he has to pretend to be moderate. This is what the Democrats in Montana are going to try to do as well. They're all going to pretend to be moderates now.
Oh, yeah. Just like our rhinos in our Montana legislature. They're going to be moderates, but all they are is wrong to the Communist Party like the Democrats.
All right, Francis, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling in. We're going to get back to more of your phone calls here. I know for the 9 o'clock hour, we've got the phone lines open for you. We should be able to sneak in some phone calls here later in the 8 o'clock hour as well. But I did just add one more guest to the lineup here in just a few minutes. I'll tell you about that important topic. But first, Henry Kriegel, Deputy State Director for Americans for Prosperity Montana, joins us every Monday for a legislative update. And, of course, this segment brought to you by Americans for Prosperity Montana. Henry, what's moving and shaking in the Capitol this week?
Hey, my friend Aaron, and all of you beautiful people out there. So great to be on the show with you this Monday morning. Always look forward to it. Well, our big thing for this week is we're going to do a rally at the Capitol on Friday at 12 noon with the governor to promote SB 323. That is a individual income tax cut that will get us closer to a flat tax rate. Lower individual income taxes by 0.5% each of the following 2 years to bring down the liability for Montanans down to 4.9%, which is almost commensurate better than our neighbors, but it's down to near their level, and it gets us a lot to a flat tax, 4.9% and 4.7% for most Montanans. So that's our big event for the week. We'll also be talking about on a federal level, work on a federal level. We remember we do have two U.S. by us only having a little more than a million people. We have Tim Sheehy, which we are our AP action team was glad to help win, and we've got Steve Gaines. And, of course, we got two representatives. Those are important votes. We need to shore them up. We'll be talking about Trump's Tax Cuts and Jobs Act at the rally. That was done in 20, that desperately needs to be reauthorized within the first 100 days because we need to set the pattern for victory. We need to not allow those tax cuts to expire because it'll mean a major increase in corporate tax rates up to 35%. It will affect Montanans in a significant way. If we don't need a tax cut, a tax hike is what it would amount to if we don't get these cuts, especially when we're trying to recover from inflation. So those are the two main topics that we'll be talking about with the governor at the Capitol at 12 noon. And if you're hearing this and you're within driving distance, we need people there because this is really critical. And we need to get more tax reform in the state of Montana. We pay higher than any of our neighboring states, so we're down to 4.5%. In fact, Wyoming doesn't even have low income tax. So we need to bring it down. The governor is leading on this. It's the best of all the various tax reform bills that have been submitted to the state legislature, and it's about time that we on the center-right come together and unite behind the best policy. Maybe you might have some qualms with the bill sponsor. Maybe some of us listening to this show might have some qualms with the governor, but this is the best bill. He's leading on it, and AFP is supporting it, and we urge Montanans to get behind SB 323, to contact their state representatives, their state representative and state and senator, to vote for this thing, because we need more money in the pocketbooks of Montanans so they can invest in their small businesses, which file as individual earners, not as corporations. We need more money in the hands of small businesses and in the hands of Montana families.
I'm glad you guys are rallying with the governor. That's this Friday, right? Yeah, rallying with the governor to support his his income tax relief plan. Because, yeah, I know that, you know, the Republican majority in the Senate, they've had, one version of income tax relief moving forward. I know the House has had a different version of income tax relief. Get behind, rally around the governor's plan. That seems to be the easiest way to get everybody on the same page. And I think you and I kind of briefly mentioned this last week. I just don't like the idea that we're going to pick winners and choosers, or winners and losers. If we lower the tax rate for all, the rich are still going to pay more than the rest of us. But this idea that we're going to, have a higher rate for this class or that class, that's nonsensical. We need to move away from that. We've got the budget surplus. Let's do the right thing here. And look, there's just not enough time in the session. Everybody, do you sense that there is now a consensus? Now they're going to rally around the governor's proposal and get that across the finish line and then move on to other things?
I don't have that. I don't necessarily have that at this point, Aaron. We'll know a lot more this coming week where everyone is at. And you're right about this tax cut. It's the simplest to understand, simplest to explain. Almost brings us down to a flat tax. If you do the simple math, 5% of the million is still a lot more than 5% of than 150,000. So the wealthy do pay more in taxes. But in terms of uniting behind one bill, I don't know yet. That's kind of one why we are getting out in front of this particular bill, because we think it makes the most sense and it's the best policy and gets us, again, as I mentioned, closer to a flat tax rate, which is a lot more and fairer to everybody.
I like that point you made, too, about, hey, just because you don't like the sponsor of a bill doesn't mean you should vote against a bill. You'll see this happen sometimes. People are like, oh, well, I don't like that sponsor or whatever bill. It's like, focus on the bill. Is it a good bill or a bad bill? Vote for or against the bill, not whoever is carrying the bill. And because sometimes the person carrying the bill is... It's a tactical reason behind that or whatever, but it reminds me of President Reagan's quote, imagine what you will accomplish if you don't mind who gets the credit.
That is very well said on both points, Aaron. Thank you for making that clear to our listeners here this morning. Although if we quibble about who's the sponsor, we'll be like the Hatfields and the McCoys. We'll be at war with each other.
We got enough of that already. Yeah. Hey, what about Florida Governor Ron DeSantis being in the Capitol today? Are you going to get a chance to say hello possibly to him?
I would love to, but Americans for Prosperity, they have been working on a lot of different fronts, so I'm not even going to be up there today. But Ron DeSantis is one of my favorite governors of all time. He has transformed the state of Florida, and they were flourishing down there even during COVID. He had the conviction and the courage to stand up to the attempts to shut down that state, and he was one of the few states that actually whose economy grew. He's got a lot to share with us.
You know, when I had the governor on the show on Friday, and we were talking about DOGE and what the federal government is doing right now, and the governor said, "Well, the federal government could learn from us. In Montana, we have a balanced budget requirement." The budget has to be balanced at the end of the session, right? And so whether Democrats or Republicans are there, that forces them to deliver a balanced budget. And I know that's what Governor DeSantis and Governor Gianforte are going to be talking about later today, about the need for a balanced budget at the federal level.
Absolutely. We got to get there. We are seeing some really quick and dramatic, I think, positive actions on a lot of fronts coming back east. It's going to have a positive impact on Montana. We have yet to even really fully understand the Trump's decision to end and dismantle the Department of Education and how that's going to affect and hopefully improve and enhance education choice and freedom here in Montana. We certainly do need to create more structures, infrastructure for any funding coming to the state to support more choice, because as we know, competition in any field, including it, should bring out the best in us. So there's a lot of great things that are happening. Deregulation at a federal level is going on. We want our what we call our Baby Reins Act, HB 592, to go forward. We have hearings on that on Tuesday morning. This will help rein in the administrative state. We're not saying that this governor is at fault, but previous Democrat governors had put forward some very onerous and burdensome regulations on the state, and we want to set the pattern moving forward beyond this administration or the next.
Yeah, that's a great point there, too. Look, there's bills that could and should get across the finish line in the legislature right now. And it's not so much of whether this is or is not happening under the current governor's administration. It's about what could happen in future gubernatorial administrations or what has happened in previous gubernatorial administrations. Now's the time when Republicans still have a majority and still have the governor's office to ensure that these protections are put in place. And the Baby Reins Act, as you call it, sounds like an incredible step forward.
Absolutely. It's like, it's carpe diem, seize the day. We have the opportunity. We got a Republican administration out of the governor's office. We have Republican majorities in the House and Senate. We got to come together and get the best bills across the finish line while we have opportunity. And that's one of them. We got a judicial reform bill that's a couple of them in play. We do need, I do believe Montanans and judicial candidates should reserve the right to declare their party affiliation. That's the First Amendment right.
Yeah, got to get that across the finish line as well. All right.
Absolutely.
All right. Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Great update as always. Thanks for your time.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a frago for you. I was going to just have the phone lines open and, cover the, various news stories of the day here during this time slot as well. We will have phone lines open for the entire 9 o'clock hour, but I definitely want to get a chance to catch up with Dan Bruner. Dan, because this is really one of the biggest issues facing our state, facing our country, and we had big news that I shared over the weekend on this front. Dan Bruner is a former FBI Hispanic gang expert. He's now got the Bruner Sierra Group. He lives in Bozeman. But let me tell you the news first, and then we'll talk with Dan. Trende Aragua-related arrest by the Border Patrol in Havre, Montana. That's the headline I shared Sunday morning last week when there was rumor of cartel activity on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation. There were also rumors about something going on in Havre, Montana. Well, now we know why. U.S. Border Patrol Havre Sector confirming on their Facebook page that a U.S. citizen has been arrested for aiding in the smuggling of three Trende Aragua illegal alien gang members. They shared the information over the weekend, but the arrest actually occurred back on March 4th. Havre Sector agents apprehended a subject involved in the smuggling of three illegal aliens. The illegal aliens have all been identified as Trende Aragua gang members. So the smuggler now will face federal charges. Dan Bruner back with us here on Montana Talks. Yeah, just more crazy headlines right here out of our own backyard. Dan, your thoughts, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for having me on. And listen, I'm always glad to jump on here and help your listeners to really understand, you know, the extent of the Hispanic organized crime elements, you know, Tren de Aragua, MS-13, the cartels. It's a lot worse than, you know, people are purporting it to be, and that, you know, it's not just illegal immigration, because exactly what you said here, there are people and there are elements here in this country, U.S. citizens, Canadians, I'm sure, you know, all in line to that, are working with these criminal organizations, with the cartels, to benefit. Listen, we all have criminal elements in all our societies. So, of course, they're going to want to benefit financially. So, you know, really looking into these guys and, you know, taking them out for, you know, for immigration purposes, that is a good, it's a good action that the administration is taking. We're getting rid of it, but we need to identify the other networks, the other people that are the locals, U.S. citizens, the Canadians, or the other criminal elements from other countries that are working with the TDA and the cartels. So I think this is a great move by in the right direction, but there's still a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, because I was looking at the arrest photos, so you can tell the three men that are the, you know, Venezuelans, obviously. But then it looks like they blurred out the photograph of the what I'm assuming is a younger woman with red hair, who that I'm assuming that's the U.S. citizen here. But really, the info that I've got on our Montana Talks website so far is all the info we've got about this story. So I don't know where those three illegal aliens were or not. Etc. I did reach out to the Border Patrol over the weekend, and then also, you know, phone calls and emails. But I know they've oftentimes got to be pretty tight-lipped about this stuff, because there's ongoing investigations and political considerations. And at the end of the day, I'm just glad they're getting the job done.
Absolutely agree. I'm glad they're getting the job done. But gaining the intelligence and from these individuals, you know, including, yes, like I said, I support the administration flying out the TDA members now directly to Venezuela or via El Salvador, but getting the intelligence from these individuals, even if it's taking the time, sitting down and talking to these criminals and these elements and doing an interview by the, you know, whether it be ICE, FBI, DEA, whoever the arresting agents are, and seeing if possibly they're willing to talk and we can get information from them. Even the 10-minute informational interview can provide intelligence into the networks here in the United States. Listen, we don't have time, you know, to really do a long-term RICO investigation sometimes. You know, we want to get these elements out of the country, out of Montana, but it is a long-term RICO investigation, long-term investigations looking into, you know, doing wiretaps, doing informants, you know, consensual recordings. All these things will show us the network. And just as like this woman, you know, allegedly was helping, you know, the immigration, you know, the migration and moving these illegal immigrants around the country in Montana, identifying those people is really the key factor which we need to work on. And, you know, engaging with our state representatives, engaging with our national representatives, you know, Senator Daines or Senator Sheehy, and showing them, hey, listen, this is what the solution is. We need to get more agents up here, not temporarily, but agents that are either FBI, DEA, HSI, that speak Spanish so that they can get into the community and really get intelligence and find out how extensive this network is here in Montana. I'm unfortunately, I believe that it is quite extensive.
Yeah, the other story was, you know, last week, and while I was driving up to northeast Montana myself, I made some phone calls to try to figure out what was going on. There was a lockdown on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation in Poplar. We had, you know, different reports coming in, and the rumor was that there was some sort of cartel activity. There was rumor that the cartels were up there trying to break some lady out of jail who was informing on them. Sounded like that was just rumors. It was just rumor intelligence. But nonetheless, what that story tells me is that people are on edge. People are, if they get even a whiff of the cartels or TDA in their communities, they're jumping on it and they're alerting their local folks because they know that this is a real threat. They know it's a real deal now. It's not just political hyperbole.
I absolutely agree. And hey, the people in the community know their community best, and they see something suspicious, contact law enforcement. That's what they get paid for. Let them make the decision. There's no need for, you know, people in the community to take it upon themselves and obviously protect your home, protect your family. That is the most important thing. But let law enforcement, you know, monitor, let law enforcement work the intelligence, give them, whether it be identifying people or people that are suspicious in the neighborhood, that is the key to really, you know, getting into these individuals and identifying them, and let law enforcement, because they have the training, they have the experience.
So what are you hearing is changing now that, you know, we are seeing these high-profile arrests here in Montana, Border Patrol doing some good operations in the areas near the border where they have authority, ICE doing their operations in places like Bozeman, and hopefully they're, you know, investigating the reservations in particular right now as well that have been targeted. But is this disrupting the TDA OODA loop, you know, decision-making process, shall we say?
I think it's causing, I would say, heartburn. You know, I wouldn't say it's disrupting their operations. I would say it's causing them heartburn, difficulty. But, you know, the fact that we have the border closed, that they're not able to recoup their losses as quickly. One of the things that I said in, you know, in an interview I did last week was that my estimation, my personal estimation, this is not coming from anybody other sources, my estimation is there's between 3,000 to 5,000 TDA members in this country. That includes hardcore members who have then recruited younger 12, 13, 14-year-olds. So if one hardcore member recruits 10 or 15 different members, those subsidiary associates, I consider them TDA members. So that's where I come up with the 3,000 to 5,000. I think a lot of people were alarmed when I made those numbers, and I'm saying this, that's based upon my experience and my opinion upon it, and I think that that is a significant number. So the fact of them, you know, losing 264 or so that were flown out, that's a significant, hopefully all of those individuals are TDA members, because it's very difficult to look at someone and say, that's a TDA member. So hopefully law enforcement is conducting the proper intelligence to arrest these individuals and get these TDA members that they have known off the street, but there's a lot of them that they do not know, because they don't walk around with a sign that says, I'm TDA. So that, that intelligence, that working the community, engaging with those you know, individuals that are, you know, in the community and are able to point out, hey, that's a TDA member, that would help the law enforcement agencies to conduct those arrests. I think that, you know, moving forward, we have to engage with these communities and find out and have them rooted out. They're obviously very nervous about talking to law enforcement, but that's how we get these criminal elements out of this country, and working with law enforcement. And I think that we're going in the right direction. To completely disrupt an organization, you have to arrest 14, 15, 16, you know, them. Now, whether they will face justice here in the United States court system, that's up to the administration to see if they go forward. I know there's a RICO case in Tennessee against numerous numbers of TDA, and, you know, there is clear potential for good investigations by DEA here in the state. FBI can, you know, bring in, we'll have to bring in some people. I know that they don't have many Spanish-speaking agents in the state, if any at all, that from the FBI, and very few probably have Hispanic organized crime experience.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm saying
that they surge in that support there. Yeah. Dan Bruner with the Bruner Sierra Group. Yeah, greatly appreciate your time again. Saw you on Fox News last week making the rounds back in back on the East Coast. Thanks again for joining us here on Montana Talks. Appreciate your time. Quick break. Back after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Why do people have this faith in their government? I don't know. How'd that Obamacare thing work out for people? Because the promise was you're going to keep your doctor, keep your plan, and the average family will save $2,500 per year per family. It ended up being millions of Americans lost their doctors, millions lost their plans, and on average we're paying, you know, 250 to 300% more for our premiums for inferior care. And over 40% of the country has one Obamacare exchange option. That didn't work out too well. And we've got to rethink how we do things. And we've got to look at things anew. $36,000 a year per student? Are you kidding me? On education?
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Are you taking steps to help protect your money from the potential impact of world war?
Russia and Ukraine, Israel, Gaza. We've seen threats from Iran, and now Syria has been taken over by extremists, putting the entire region at risk. The question is, how much more international conflict can we handle? And what impacts will these conflicts have on the global economy and your retirement savings? Right now, thousands of hardworking Americans are turning to precious metals like gold and silver to help them protect their hard-earned savings. You may not be able to control these global conflicts around the world, but you can control how you diversify your money. And that's where gold and silver could help. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver for qualified accounts, but only while supplies last. So don't wait. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your free copy today and find out if you qualify for up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver. That's 855-815-GOLD.
The week ahead.
Tuesday, the Supreme Court hears two cases involving the Environmental Protection Agency. One from the state of Oklahoma on which courts can hear challenges to the federal agency. The other on whether small refineries are exempt from EPA rules on fuel blends. Wednesday, it's Red Cross Giving Day. In its 11th year, it's an opportunity for local communities to help those who have been affected by a home fire or other disaster and who need Red Cross services to get back on their feet. Thursday, it's a day centered around sports. It's traditional MLB opening day. Most baseball teams playing their first game of the season. On the hard court, it's the first day of the NCAA tournament's Sweet 16. Friday, be careful what you say to your Alexa. Starting today, every command spoken to the virtual assistant through an Echo device will be automatically processed by Amazon. And that's a look at your week ahead. I'm Tom Graham, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Brent.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, we've got just a quick few minutes left here as we round out the 8 o'clock hour on this Monday. We're going to have phone lines open coming up in the 9 o'clock hour for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation, I want to kick things off. Did you guys see any of the footage from the NCAA wrestling tournament? And this national champion with the upset of a gold medalist and President Donald J. Trump there in Philly for the NCAA wrestling championship. Absolutely incredible. And it reminds me of my Uncle Dave, my Uncle Big Dave, back. It was 1981 when he was the state heavyweight wrestling champ. And I just got a great email from Kelly in Glasgow, who was there for the whole thing. When I was a kid, I would stuff newspapers for the Glasgow Courier back in the day. Now Kelly's got the buzz up there on the High Line, and Big Dave would be running the printing press, and Kelly'd be covering sports and taking great photos, and my brother and I would be bickering as we stuffed newspapers together. Anyway, good times. But I want to go back to something, since we just got a quick few minutes here. Steve in Ballantyne called in last week, and Steve in Ballantyne said, hey, what the heck is up with this deal with the auto pen? Apparently, you know, the Biden White House, Joe wasn't even there. He was off at the beach. He was out to lunch, literally and figuratively. And some staffer is at the White House with an auto pen signing documents, signing pardons on Joe's behalf. Did Joe even know about it? Peter Schweitzer and Greg Jarrett. Greg Jarrett is a Fox News legal analyst. Peter Schweitzer has documented the Biden family corruption, especially when it comes to China. They were both on Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. Here's Peter Schweitzer first.
We had Speaker Johnson reporting that when he talked to President Biden in 2024 about a piece of legislation that he signed, Joe Biden didn't recall signing that piece of legislation. So it is an absolute legitimate question. Was the president actually making this decision? Or is this a replay of what we had under the Woodrow Wilson administration, where he was paralyzed and his wife, Edith Wilson, was essentially running our government? And that's something that deserves investigation, absolutely.
Well, that's unbelievable. Greg, do you have a thought on that?
Yeah, look, auto pens are not illegal by themselves. They've been used by past presidents dating back to Harry Truman and before, as long as there is consent by the signator. Well, what if you have a president who is so mentally infirm that he is incapable of consent? Then those documents are null and void. And even worse, Maria, what if operatives in the White House, knowing of the president's condition, decided we're just going to start issuing pardons and executive orders without even consulting him? That's forgery and fraud.
Now, he said the challenge is how do you prove it? You know, especially if you don't get a whistleblower to come forward with specific allegations. I would think there's got to be some sort of a paper trail backing up the approval process for the use of the auto pen, especially when it comes to things like presidential pardons and more. Right? I mean, you would assume that there's got to be a paper trail. And if they can't prove that some of these last-minute antics and actions by the Biden regime were not signed by Biden himself or with the approval of Biden himself, then it should all go away, right? Would seem to make sense. By the way, Peter Schweitzer also shared some incredible numbers looking at these nationwide injunctions where one liberal judge can try to shut down the Trump administration across the entire country. During George W. Bush's tenure, there were only 6 nationwide injunctions. During Obama, 12 nationwide injunctions. During Biden's, at the end of his third year in office, there had been 14 nationwide injunctions. President Trump's first term alone had 64 nationwide injunctions. And of course, now that he's in term two and counting, this just shows you the lawless, radical left-wing judges that are trying to run this country into the ground.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The story is told that legendary military leader George Marshall spent time during the 30s compiling a list, noting people with more talent than their rank and those who were just the opposite. He was then free when the war erupted to promote the best and fire the deadwood. That studied deliberation stands in contrast to the lightning-fast, indiscriminate layoffs and terminations taking place in the federal government today. One of the guiding principles in federal cost-cutting today is, quote, if you're not adding things back at least 10% of the time, you're clearly not cutting enough. So perhaps a change to our approach to federal government spending cuts will arrive at the same destination as George Marshall managed to get to all those years ago, only the road will be a lot bumpier. Certainly a different way of doing business for government, and it may prove to be a terrible fit. That's because government's job has been and always will be to provide the things that have value but that no one will pay for. Consistency, predictability. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.